43, and the title is Israel's Only Saviour. But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cushan and Seba in your stead, since you are precious and honoured in my sight. And because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me no god was formed, nor will there ever be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no saviour. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign god among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver you out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? And the next part is entitled God's Mercy and Israel's Unfaithfulness. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and there they lay, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
Great. Thanks, Brenda. We're going to just look at this, if we can have the slide up. We're just going to look at this, about how I want to see a new thing. And that's what I want to entitle today, is that God wants to do a new thing. God is doing a new thing. And the context in which I want to speak today is this. I want to speak today about our personal lives, that God wants to do a new thing. I want to speak in the context of our church life, that God wants to do a new thing. For some of you this morning might be here and your relationship with God is such a distant relationship that maybe for some of you today, God is saying, I want to do a new thing in you. I want to do a new thing in your life. I want to draw you closer to me so that you can do new things for me. But I want to talk about God, I want to see a new thing. But to see a new thing, we must change our focus. To see a new thing, we must change our focus. And if you read Isaiah 43, and I'm just going to read a couple of the words again. It says, the Lord says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. Now, we could just talk about that for the next 25 to 30 minutes if we were here for the next day or so, but we should not. But just listen to those words, first of all. The Lord says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you." There's some of you this morning, as I was coming back on the train from Harrogate, writing some notes, I really sensed in my spirit that some of us here today need to know, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you." God has redeemed you. God has redeemed his people. It goes on to say, "When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt." Just get the concept of that for a moment. Just get the concept. And then later on it says in verse 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. Again, just that reminder, yet it's so simplistic, but yet it's so profound, but yet we forget it so often. It's so simplistic, it's so profound, but yet we forget it so often. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And there's times in our life when we're afraid and we just don't know where to turn. Well, let us turn to God, because God knows that we're in that place. And then it says, "I will say to the north, give them up, as God will protect us and watch over us." And then it goes on to say in verse 10, "For you are my witnesses, declare the Lord." And it focuses on what God wants us to do. And then it speaks in verse 11, I am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. I have revealed myself to people. I have saved people, and I have proclaimed who I am to people. There is only one God. And there in those couple of verses, it speaks about just who God is. And again, we need to remind ourselves sometimes in church of the simplistic natures of the Bible and the simplistic natures of the gospel, that actually if we believe them and live them out, they will do new things for us. And that's why I've chosen to break from Daniel this week, to say there's some simple things that maybe the Lord just needs to remind us of again. I am the Lord. And apart from me, there is no Savior. There's nobody else apart from Jesus. But yet we still try and put our lives into so many different things apart from God, and then we understand why it doesn't feel quite right. God has a plan, God has a purpose for each and every one of us here this morning. Even if we don't understand what that is, he does. We just simply need to ask. I haven't even got to the sermon yet. I have revealed, saved, and proclaimed. That's the kind of God that we serve. And then it says in verse 13, no one can be delivered out of my hands. When I act, who can resist it? Again, it speaks about God's power and God's authority. Verse 16 says, and this is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the seas. Again, simplistic but quite profound. Have you ever seen anybody else do that? Apart through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses and the army together. And that, just before we look at verse 18 and 19, I just want us to get that understanding of the type of God that we're talking about, church. Do you get the picture? Yes? That is the kind of God that we need to be evident in the world today, to bring a breakthrough in the darkness of the land that we live in. And he's going to do that for you and I. I'm not excluding myself from it. I'm part of it also. But see, if we want to see a God to do a new thing, we have to believe that God is able to do new things. How many of you in your life say, you know what, personally, no, God can't do that? Because you tell yourself that he can. But he can. God can change your situation today. God can change your life today. God can change everything that's going on around you today, because if it's according to his will, he will change it. So if we want to see God do a new thing, we need to change our focus. We need to understand, like it says in the beginning of Isaiah 43, we have to remind ourselves who God is. But God says, behold, in verse 18 and 19, which I'm going to focus on now. But God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. God is getting ready to do something new, to be ready for change. Our mindset, we need to be ready for change. We need to change our mindset. We need to be open to different things. We need to change our mindset. We need to be open. We need to be alive. We need to be able. We need to be willing. We need to be trustworthy. And I'm talking at the moment about our personal life. If we want to see God do a new thing in our own personal life, I'm not talking about church, actually, at the moment. I'm going to refer to that right at the end. So this is more about focusing on our personal life. If we want to see God do a new thing, we need to have a mindset change. We need to be open. We need to be alive. We need to be willing. We need to be able. We need to be trustworthy towards the one who saved us. I'm not asking you to do all those things to somebody who you don't have the confidence in. I'm asking you to do that to the one who saved us and who revealed himself to us and gave us life. So I want to speak about three things this morning. Firstly, I want to say we have to stop looking back. It says there, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. First thing is this, we have to stop looking back. We have to stop looking behind. God is saying you cannot depend on your old past victories. The past victories are not going to sustain the world today or you today. We need to see what God is doing today. We can't look back, but we need to look forward. But so often in our faiths, personally, we always refer to how it used to be or how it was. But it says here, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past, but see today, I want to do a new thing. Now, it's not to give glory and praise and honor and adoration to God about what he's done in the past and praise him for that, but it's not to say, well, back in the good old days, it was like this and keep holding on to that, because this passage says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. That's happened. And praise God for all the things that have happened through it. But see, today I am doing a new thing. We need to stop looking back. And I want to be personal with you here, and I'm going to be honest. You might not want to be honest with yourself, but I'm going to be honest with myself. And as I was coming back on the train from Harrogate last weekend with lots of rugby supporters from Scotland, I was sat there and I put my headphones on and I was thinking about this passage. And as I was writing some notes, as I was writing this specific line, I said, the past victories are not going to sustain the world or you today. We need to see what God is doing today. God is saying you cannot depend on your past victories. And I'll be honest with you, part of me, God caught me in my steps. And I don't like it when he does that. Do you like it when he does that to you? And if he doesn't do that, then that's a bit concerning, because he does that when we're doing things for him. And I got caught because I thought to myself, Scott, the Lord was saying to me just in that split moment, you know, you're always looking back. You're always looking back in your conversation with me. You're always saying, when I was a youth pastor in Carshorton Beaches and we had hundreds of young people coming to faith and we baptized 18 people on a night, he said, Scott, that was the past. I said, but Lord, it was good. He said, it was good, but it was the past. And then I would say to the Lord, but Lord, you know, when I went to serve a church in New Malden and there was a big breakup with the pastors and they all ran off with different people and all the rest of it, you know what I did there? And Lord, wasn't that a good time for the way that you restored the church? And when we had communion and nobody came forward, but 6 months later, relationship was restored and many people came to serve communion. And I was talking to the Lord. The Lord said, that was the past. I said, Lord, but come on. It was good. It might have been good, Scott, but it was the past. And Lord, you know, you've all heard me speak about Peru. Oh, man. But Lord, Peru, there was no church, and today there is a church, and many people came to faith, and people cut their faces open, and God saved people's lives, and all the rest of it. Lord, yeah, Scott, it was the past. And the Lord wasn't saying to me, Scott, it wasn't important, but so often we can spend time looking back at the past that we don't want to see, and we don't see the new thing God wants to do today. And is that just true in my life? I don't think so. I think it's probably true in all of our lives here today. But you know, and back when I look back in some areas of my life, I think, well, God, there was amazing times then, and maybe I spend too much time thinking on the amazing times then, not believing that God is going to be doing a new thing today. And maybe the reason God's not doing a new thing today is because I'm focusing back on the glory old days. You know, maybe for some of you, when the organ was played, or whatever. See, we need to. The past victories are good, but they're not going to sustain the church today, are they? Because the world is different, the situation is different, the people are different. The world is not like it was then. To see 250 people, young people, come to faith and baptize years ago, goodness me, today it's even a harder challenge because they have phones. But so do we, actually. That's the phone basket, by the way. We used it last Sunday night. If you want to put your phone in there, you can. So the first thing I want to say is this. We need to stop looking back. God is saying you cannot depend on the past victories. The past victories are not going to sustain you today. That's the first thing I want to say for you in your personal life. Don't put God in such a small box that you're depending on what he did in the past and you're not expecting him to do a new thing today. Because that's not the way God moves. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I've done those. Rejoice in them. Be happy about them. If they've been difficult moments, be grateful to God that they've passed. But you know, in difficult moments, God still is doing great things. I really find it difficult that when we go through difficult times in the church, we kind of sort of moan at God. Well, no, that just shows the lack of spiritual depth in our souls, because actually when we go through difficult times, I've been through them too, that God actually is doing something new in us, and he's preparing us for something great that is coming. So the first thing is I want to say that is that we need to not look back and be so holding on to those past things, but we actually need to do this. Secondly, the second point is this. We cannot allow past failures to stop us. We need to ask God to forgive our failures and to move on. Did you hear that? We cannot allow past failures. So all the good things that happened in the past, we can't rely on those for the future. And maybe that was just the Lord speaking to me, and maybe that's not relevant to anybody else here about Peru and NBC and Carl Shorten Beaches. But I think it probably is true of many of us. But actually, secondly, we cannot allow past failures to stop us, as we need to ask God to forgive our failures so we can move on. And this is the second point. It's actually so often things have happened in the past and the things that we've got wrong, things that we've failed on, that actually what we need to do is just say to God, God, I'm sorry, and let them go. And let them dissolve. And let them disappear. We can't allow past failures to stop us. Do what God wants to do today if we believe God wants us to do a new thing in us. We need to ask God to forgive our failures and we need to move on. Don't let the past stop you from being who you are today. Don't let the past stop you from doing what God has called you to do today. And we can all look in our past, can't we, and say, well, you know, when I did this before, it never worked and I've never done it again. Well, that's not the way God works. And I've so often hear, not just in the circles that I walk in, but also in other circles, that people often say, well, you know what, I can't do anything new. God can't do a new thing in me because actually, you know what, I did something once in church and it didn't work and I felt so bad about it, I've never had the confidence to do it again. Where do you see that in Scripture? Where does it say that in Scripture? You know, one thing I love about the American church, there's lots I don't love, but God loves them, and I don't love necessarily their views on women. But basically, you know, they'll give everything a try. If they do something and it fails, they won't just go, oh, it's failed, we'll never be able to do that again. They say, well, why did it fail? What went wrong? Let's try again. And so often when we in our personal lives, maybe sometimes we do something for God and it doesn't quite work out the way we want it to work out, we feel such a failure. And when we feel such a failure, we allow that to get inside of us. Like maggots coming into our skin and then they eat away at us, and our failures stop us from doing the new thing that God has got us to do today. Because the world tells us that, you know, well, you know, you've done it wrong, you won't get a second opportunity. But the Bible doesn't say that. But we can so often not see God doing a new thing in our life because we're still having issues with past failures that we need to ask God just to take away and to forgive us maybe at times for the things that we've done. Is that not true? Talk to me, church. It's true, isn't it? And so often, many of us, me included, do things today because of my past failures in doing something. And actually, the reality, I've made a lot of failures. Have you? I have. And it's only by God's grace and by me saying, God, I'm sorry, I'll have another go. And God says, all right, Scott, I'll have another go. But this time, do it a bit differently. All right, Lord, you're the boss, I'm listening. But if I had a mindset that, Lord, you know what? Now I've been knocked down or I've been defeated or people have said this or said that, I'll never stand up again. And if I'm not able to stand up again, I'm never able to see the new things that God wants me to do today. And some of us in this room, and I really sensed this when I was praying this week. I had a quiet week because hardly any staff were in the office this week. So I had so much time to read and study. It was absolutely wonderful. I read some books and was a bit inspired for my own soul. It was lovely. But as I was sat in my office this week, I thought, how many people do not do what God wants them to do today because they are not allowing themselves to move forward from the things in the past? We cannot allow past failures to stop us, as we need to ask God simply to forgive our failures, and then we need to move on. But how many of you in this room, I'm talking about your personal life, how many of us don't let the past, how many of us in our personal lives let the past affect us so much that we do nothing today? Many of us, maybe. But God says, as we said at that communion table, when God says, when we go to God and say we're truly sorry for the things that we've done and we have a repentant heart, he forgives us. And it's like he says, off you go again. Come on. There's nobody else that does that. Not even your husband or wife. Or maybe some of you. But God says that. God says, you know what? Just let it go. Don't let it stop you. And there'll be some of us this morning, I believe in my heart of hearts, that God wants to do some new things in some of our lives here this morning personally, but he's not able to do them because we just won't let some things go. And I want to say to you this morning, let them go. Let them go. They do not matter. I'm not even going to refer to what they are. You know what they are. Let them go. Because God wants to do a new thing in you. God wants to create you differently today. But he's having a bit of a tricky bother doing that because you keep going back to those things that he's already said to you, don't worry, it's fine. I've forgotten about them. Because actually most of us in this room are fairly insecure. And most of us in this room are just, you know, we cares for us about what we do to God. And when we upset God or when we get things wrong. And God says, you know what? It's fine. I know your intentions were right. Move on. And then the third point I want to raise is this. So it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. The third thing is this. We cannot live on yesterday's faith. The church needs to go out and seek the lost today. Go out today in our own personal lives, believing that God can do a new thing. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God can do a new thing in your life today? Or do you think, you know, not me, Lord? Maybe, I don't know, Jonathan, he's a pastor. Jonathan, yeah, he's got better spirituality than me and all the rest. No. We need to change our mindset and change our focus to believe that God can do a new thing in us today. God can bring a new healing in us today. God can bring a new change in us today. God can bring a new purpose in us today. God can bring a new beginning in us today. We serve a God who says, I want to do on a daily basis a new thing within you. So from a personal point of view, I really believe that there's some of us today that we need to believe that the God whom we sing about, the God whom we worship, the God whom we study at life groups, the God to whom we pray to every day, I trust, and read his word, that God believes in us. Do you know this morning? And if you don't, let me tell you that God believes in every single one of you. Do you know that? Doesn't matter what you think about yourself for a moment. Take that to the Lord. But God believes in every single one of you. Would you look like you're happy about that? God believes in every single one of you. And the way that the world is changing, we're told differently. And as the world changes, the church needs to stand up and be stronger based on scripture, based on what we believe to be true. And what we believe to be true is this, that God believes in you. And God believes in me. And God has a plan for your life. And God has a plan for my life. And God is a God who wants us to believe in new things, in new changes, in new healings, in new ambitions, in new purposes. That's what God says. God is doing a new thing. And God wants to do a new thing in some of you here this morning. I really believe it. God wants to say to you, you know what, don't worry about the past. Don't think about the past things. Don't focus on what used to happen in the good old days, because that's not what you need to be today. Because if I was the pastor like I described in all those churches back in the day, if I was that kind of pastor today, you'd be in more trouble than you are today. It was there to teach me something, and I thank God for it. But today, God needs me to be who I am today, not who I was yesterday. And we've also got to just let go of those things that stop us from being who God wants us to be. How many of us in this room do not do the things God wants us to do because the only person that stops us is ourselves? I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, but I'm pretty sure we could all put our hands up to that. How many of us are not doing what God wants us to do today because of what's happened in the past that we're just not letting go of? And thirdly, as I said just a few moments ago, we need to believe that God can do new things, new healing, new change. We serve a God who is powerful. We read it in those words. He is still as powerful today as he was then. And don't let anybody tell us differently. Last weekend, I was at the Baptist Assembly. Benjamin Francis was there. Do you remember that man? Oh, my goodness me. He got them all going. And then the good old Baptist, as he was getting people responding, the good old Baptist stood there and said, well, yes, it's 8:30, so we're going to finish now. And people were pouring forward for prayer. And I'm like, so I went down to the front. I tapped somebody on the shoulder. And I said, are you joking? And so did some other senior ministers. And they said, well, what we've got to do, we've got to be out of this place by 9:30. It's only 8:30. And then a lady who used to work for BMS, Margaret Gibbsy, she was on the piano, and a couple of us gave Margaret Gibbs the little look, and then the comms teams are over there saying, and we all give Margaret the look, and Margaret keeps playing, and the comms team are going, woo-hoo! And Margaret keeps playing, and hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, came forward because God had touched their lives. But for them to come forward, they had to believe that God was going to be able to do a new thing for them. Oscar Wilde says this, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. So we have to just be ourselves. We have to just be who God has asked us to be, church, individually. And in closing, before we respond, I want to say profoundly that I believe in the depths of my soul this morning that there are some of us in this room today that need to know that it's time to stop thinking about the past and it's time to believe in today. There's some of us that I believe in the depths of my soul that there's some of us in this room today that need to let the past failures just dissolve away and ask God about what that personal new thing is that he's doing in our life. I believe in the depths of my soul today that there are people in this room that God wants to do a new thing, a new healing, a new change, and God wants to use you powerfully for the things that God has got planned for you to do. So my question to you is, well, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to open your hearts and ask the Lord to come in and deal with you? Or are you going to do what we often all do, me included, is turn away and run away from it because we think we're not worthy of it? No, that's not how God works. If we weren't worthy of it, then God wouldn't have left us in charge of the Great Commission and the Gospel. He would have stayed with us. He believes in us, God does. If nobody else does, he does. I remember when I was 14 in school, when I couldn't read and write, one teacher who I didn't know at the time was a Christian, I only found out many years later, looked at me straight in the eyes and said to me, Scott Williamson, nobody else believes in you, but I do. I had the privilege to meet him quite a number of years later, and I said, sir, why did you believe in me? He said, I only believed in you because of my Christian faith. And God told me to tell you that day, that I believe in you because God believes in you, but I didn't have the courage to tell you about God, and I wasn't allowed to. I'm so grateful for that teacher. And actually, for some of you here today, you need to know, no matter what other people say, God believes in you, and God wants to do a new thing. Are you listening? Are you hearing this? Because it's, I believe, is what God wants to say to us this morning. But also as a church, and this is the only reference I want to make to church, we cannot live on yesterday's faith. The church needs to get out and be the church today. No point looking back at how it used to be at RBC. Let's look about what it needs to be today. If that means changing lots of things so that people will, so we see lots of people come to faith, well, let's do it. We cannot live on yesterday's faith. We need to believe as a church as well. God wants to do a new thing among us. As I said this week, I was in my office and I was praying. I wasn't just praying in my office this week. I had about 45 minutes to an hour and a half free, and I was just shouting to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm believing that you're going to do a new thing in this place too. I'm believing for new people to come to faith. I'm believing when we do Alpha early next year in Grovewood School that we're going to see people come to faith. I'm believing those things. And why am I believing them? Because I believe you believe in them too, Father. And you've given them to us. And then I looked at our five-year vision plan. I thought, oh my goodness me. Scott, what on earth are we doing? 2 years in, and we've hardly seen any new people come to faith. And I had two options. One was to go and bang my head on the wall, or the other option was to say, Lord, no, I'm still holding on to this because I believe that's coming. So I go to the office and I get myself a cup of tea, make myself a cup of tea because there's nobody to make me a cup of tea this week. JB was off. So I went to make myself a cup of tea. And somebody came in to the reception who doesn't come in to church. I think that's the first time I've ever seen them walk through the doors of church during the week. And they said, Pastor, I want to say one thing to you. Oh, and the way the tone was, I want to say one thing to you. I'm, oh my, Lord, not today. It's my birthday. I said, I want to say one thing to you. I need to talk to you right now. Oh, why didn't you come to my office? Left it a little bit open just in case I needed to run. And they said this, I woke up this morning and God said to me, don't worry about the five-year plan. I went, all right. She said, it's going to come. And we're going to see many people come to faith. Now that lady, I'm pretty confident. Well, she did, because I had had that thought 20 minutes beforehand. I hadn't spoken to anybody. And so I held on to that. And I wrote it in my journal. And I'll hold on to that again in the coming weeks, months, and years. Because I believe that God was speaking in that moment. As a church, we cannot live on yesterday's faith. The church needs to go out and seek the lost. But we can only seek the lost when we actually believe that God can do a new thing in us. True or false? If we don't believe God can do a new thing in us, then who are the people that are going to save the world? God, but through us. So if we believe God can't do anything in us and he's not going to do a new thing in us, then game over. Let's close the doors. Plenty of other things to do on a Sunday, so I believe. But we don't believe that, do we? But so often God doesn't do what God intends to do in his church because individually we don't believe that God can do a new thing in us. So I'm going to ask the worship band to come up. And we're going to have a bit of a time now. And I've moved the communion table this morning because I felt that was right. We're going to have a time now and we're going to sing a few songs. As we sing those few songs, I'm going to ask you to respond this morning. I'm going to ask you to respond in a couple of ways. One is, if you're not able to get up, I'm going to ask you in your place. I'm going to ask you to respond to what the Lord needs you to respond to this morning. And for some of you, it might just be simply saying, Lord, you know what? I'm going to stop thinking about the old times. I'm going to focus on today. And I'm going to believe that, God, you can use me. Don't look at what man has done, or woman, because they're involved too. But look what God can do in you. I'm going to sing some songs. I'm going to ask you, in your place, I'm going to ask you to have a conversation with Jesus in these next few moments. I'm going to ask you to say to the Lord, Lord, what is it that I need to do today? What is it that I need to get rid of today so that I can see you more clearly? What is it that I need to lay down today that I can believe in you and believe that you can do a new thing in me? What baggage have I got to take out of my rucksack? What have I got to just forget about for the rest of my life? And there'll be some of you in this room today that God has said to you for a long time, I want you to do this new thing. And you haven't had the courage, and you haven't had the faith, and you haven't had the boldness, and you haven't had the belief in yourself through God to do it. And maybe today you just need to say, God, you know what? End of. I'm ready. And so we're going to sing some songs. And as we sing these songs, we're going to sing a few songs. I'm going to ask you just to remain seated. But this morning, if you then feel that you want somebody to pray for you, I'm going to pray for you all just for time. I'm going to ask you in your places to stand. If you want God to do a new thing in your life today, in your family life, in your personal life, in the church life, I'm going to ask you to stand. Or if you're really bold enough and full of the Spirit of the Lord, I'm going to ask you to encourage. I'm going to ask you to come and stand here, or kneel here, or sit here. And as we sing these songs, I'm going to then pray for us that the Lord would give us the belief to believe today that in us as individual people, that we believe he wants to do a new thing in us today. Because when he does it in the individual element of each and every one of us, we will see the transformational power in this body of believers in this place. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But I believe in the conviction and the depth of my soul that there are far too many people in this room today that do not believe in who they are in Jesus and do not believe in themselves enough. And God wants to say to you, I believe in you and I want to do a new thing today in you. Not by your own power, not by your own money, not by your own resources, but by everything that I will give to you, the Lord says. Because those things are pretty insufficient compared to what God will do through his Spirit in us. So let me pray, and then remain seated. If you want to stand, if you want to respond, if you want to come forward, do that. Anton's going to play a few songs. And then I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray a bold prayer this morning that is not just about a momentary experience, but we will radically see a change in the coming days. Father God, we just pray now. As we give this time to you, we just pray that you'll come by your Spirit and that you would just convict our souls, change our hearts, change our beliefs, that we will understand again today that we are children of God and that God says, I want to do a new thing in us today. I commit to you all I have. keep coming. When you're ready, come. We're going to continue to sing. Those who are there already, stay there. We're going to sing another song, but I believe there's some others that need to come. I'm going to encourage you to be bold enough to get up and to come. You know you need to. You know today's the time. So stand up and use your feet that the Lord has given you today and walk. Come and declare to the Lord this morning by standing here in front of me. That you're going to be serious today. Some more of you need to come. I want to invite you to keep coming.